Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I just pray for every family here. I pray, Lord, that we might be an example to a lost world that needs salvation. I pray that we might be godly parents. I pray that we might raise godly children. And I pray that your word would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As we celebrate Mother's Day, we are going to be in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and this is such an important group of verses in Titus 2 because it points out the qualities of a sound church. And if you'll read along with me in the second chapter of Titus, starting in verse 1, Paul is writing Titus and he says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." The American church is getting older and it's getting smaller. Not only do we see that in our own church, but you see that in any church that you go to. In fact, in the last decade, the millennial group, those born between 1980 and 2000, one-third of that group has dropped out of church. The church is in crisis, and one reason why I believe that the church is in crisis is how we do church, not here, but mainly in America. And I want to use this opportunity not only to reinforce why we do church the way we do church, but also to encourage moms in their role. The other reason why church is getting smaller is that we have taken this secular idea of retirement and we've applied it to the church. You hear statements like, "Well, when I was younger, I used to volunteer in church. I used to do things in church. But I'm older now. And as I'm getting older, I'm going to let some other person do that. I'm going to let a young person fill in." Is that the church model? Well, when you look at the verses in Titus, you can see that it is not the church model. The church model is sound doctrine. And then as we celebrate Mother's Day, as you get to verse 3, you see the church model, "the older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." In other words, ladies, and us guys too, your turn's in June, as we get older, our role doesn't diminish. Our role in church should become more important. See, there is no retirement in church. There is not retirement in church. That's why heaven is called rest. When we retire in church, we shouldn't be alive anymore. We're in heaven. We're in the presence of God. Our work here on earth is not done. And in fact, as we get older, and as some people get older, and I'm reading a wonderful book right now talking about finishing the race, which is becoming more important because I don't qualify for senior coffee, but I still get senior coffee as I go to McDonald's. And as you get older, you kind of struggle. You go, what's my purpose? What am I going to do? Well, God has things for us to do. And God has things for us to do in His service, in His kingdom. And what Paul lays out here for Titus, I think, is very important, not only to ladies today, but also there's some great points for us men as well. And I want to look at these verses in detail and give you some ideas and thoughts. First of all, the church model is from older to younger. That's the church model. Now, if you pull up most mega churches now, or very large churches, used to those churches, you had a very senior pastor at the head of those churches. Now, you have very young pastors at the head of very large churches. That's not by accident. You know, the church growth consultants will tell you, well, young pastors draw young people. That's not the church model. The church model is from older to younger. I sat in churches for years as a layperson under senior pastors. The church model today in America is wrong. It should be older to younger. It should be wisdom-giving pastors and lay people, older people, giving advice to younger people. But you just can't be old. That's not the qualifications. That's part of it. Well, what's the other part? Look at verse 3. Older women likewise, that they may be reverent behavior, not slanderers, not given much wine, teachers of good things. In other words, there's qualifications, right? It's not, well, I'm old, so therefore I can give you advice. It's that I'm living the Christian life. I have lived it. I have experience, and therefore that qualifies me to give advice to a younger person. There is qualifications. Reverent. Not a slanderer. The original word for that is diabolos. Same word for devil. And what it means is that when you go around and talking about folks with an evil intent, when you intend to slander or libel someone, that disqualifies you. You've got to be a teacher of good things, not given to much wine. There's a role. Now, when you think about this, what the tempting thing to do is we see our society in decay, is for all of us to stay huddled up in church and get in the corner and talk about how bad things are. It's very tempting. I've been guilty of that. Boy, things sure are bad. Turn on the news, you talk about how bad things are. You talk to your neighbor, you talk about how bad things are. But my friends, we have something to do about that. The Bible says we're salt and light. We need to engage younger people to be here, to worship. We need to be teachers of good things, explaining what it means to be a believer, what the benefits are to be a believer. It says, teachers of good things. Well, what types of good things should one teach? Well, he lists them. Loving your husband. Loving your children. Being discreet. Being chaste. Keeper of the home. Good. Obedience to husbands. Now, let me ask you something. Is there anything bad on that list? Not, is there? Would society be a better place if moms observed those attributes and were obedient to those attributes? Society would be better. Children would be better. Crime would be lower. Poverty would be lower. Because, see, sin just doesn't affect one aspect of our life, does it? It affects everything. You and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have a mission here in this world. And moms, our mission doesn't stop when the kids leave. In fact, we have more time, don't we? We have more time to complete the mission. Well, how do we effectively do this? Well, item one, we've already pointed out in a little bit, is that you have to walk the talk. In other words, when you look back at verse 2, it says that you have to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. In other words, for you to be an effective advice giver, if you want to call it that, an effective teacher, your life has to reflect what you profess. I've said this phrase before, if you're not living it, you don't believe it. See, we're just not called to an intellectual gospel without action. The life that we live shows what we really believe. The life that we live shows what we really believe. If you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're faithful to His teachings, if you believe His word is true, then your life is going to reflect it. And when your life reflects it, it qualifies you to give advice to other people. Paul said it best in Philippians 1. He says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs and that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel." Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. If we would just remember that one verse alone. Let my conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. It would keep us in check, wouldn't it? It would let us reflect the teachings and truth of Jesus Christ. You have to walk the talk. Second of all, you have to be faithful to the body. What do you mean by that? If you are going to help other people, you got to be here. Christianity is a contact sport. You got to be here. Sometimes as we get older, it's easier for us to say, well, you know, it's all right if I miss. Somebody wrote this down and I never have thought about it this way. Let's say everybody in church said, it's okay if I miss one Sunday. In fact, if we were to just to put that as one of the okay standards, it's okay if I miss one Sunday of church. Do you know if everybody in this room, if everybody in our congregation said, it's okay if I miss one Sunday, do you know that the church's attendance decreases by 25% for the month? Four Sundays in a month. If everybody misses one Sunday, the church is 25% smaller, 25% less effective. Now, if you just look at it as, well, you're there and you're warming your chair, which is not what we're called to do. If you're warming your chair and you're not here once a month, all right. But see, that's not what we're about. It says older to younger, wisdom in teaching, and the ability to give advice to other people means that when you are here, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. And I know that we're all going to miss. But we don't need to have a rule where it's okay if we miss a number of Sundays a month. See, I used to be a layperson completely. I understand how that works because I used to do that. It's okay. I've only missed X number of Sundays this month. Doesn't work that way. I'm going to give you some scripture to back this up. Hebrews 10:23, the favorite verse of all pastors. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So in verse 25 it says, don't forsake your church attendance. Now, why is that? Well, the answer is found in verse 24. That you may stir up love in good works. We need each other. And we need examples. I've had wonderful examples in my life as a believer. I can go through and I can name their names of the people that were faithful day in, day out. I witnessed them in my junior high years. I witnessed them in high school. I witnessed them in college. I witnessed them in young marrieds. I witnessed them in my ministry, where I can look and I can name names of people that were faithful and they encouraged me in my faith. Did they have some grandiose plan? No. The first thing is they were here. And through their faithfulness, and through their love, and through their obedience, it encouraged me in my faith. So if you're here, you can stir up love and good works, and you're effective as you reach out to other people and you encourage them to live a godly life. You can be that person in someone else's life. That's what God intended for you in your ministry as a lay person, as you've lived your life, that you may have an effect on other people and that you might proclaim that God's witness is true and correct and God is alive and well through your obedience. Your attendance is needed because it stirs up good works. Well, there's another thing that you got to have, and that is you got to have a relationship. The older women are supposed to teach or admonish the younger women. Now, someone's not going to take it real well if you don't know them and you come up and you put your arm around them and you say, let me teach you a few things. That's not the approach. See, you got to know people. And your relationship with others is so very important. It can't be just a Sunday, I'm here for an hour and I'm running out the door. You got to know people. You have to be invested in people. And when you're invested in people and you know people, then good things happen. When your life reflects Jesus Christ, when you're here, and when you know people, you are able to minister. Now, the reason why we do church the way we do church here is because older people get to know younger people. See, in the modern church of today, we take all the teenagers and we run them out to a teenage worship center. So 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds are all in one group. Children are all in children's church. Adults are all in adult church. And now we've carved that up even more. And then senior adults are all in the traditional service. And so what we've done is we have made it nearly impossible in the modern church for the modern church to do the commands that Paul talked about here in Titus, older and younger. But what we have here is we have older people knowing younger people. And when you have older people knowing younger people, good things happen and the church can fulfill its godly model. This is the model that God intended. Older and younger serving and worshiping together. It's important. I love that we do it this way. And I know I'm showing my age, but this is how we used to do it. Is families worshiping together. And when families worship together, the strength of the church grows stronger. You've got to have a relationship. When you've got a relationship, you can work with others. The fourth thing is, in having that relationship, you have to be transparent. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ." Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. In order for us to be effective, older men to younger men, older women to younger women, it means that you need to be transparent and that younger person needs to be transparent as well. Unfortunately, in a lot of churches, and I've been in churches like this, where you come together and everybody puts on their perfect face for that 1 hour and everybody leaves, and then once you get in the car, reality sets in. That's not what church is about. We're all sinners saved by grace, correct? And being sinners saved by grace, and when we have true relationships with other people, then we can be honest with one another. And we can look at someone and say, "Look, I had this problem at one point in my life, and this is how I dealt with it." What do we used to call that? A testimony, right? A testimony. We've forgotten about that in church, is that we all have testimonies. None of us were born Christians, correct? We weren't born Christians. And by not being born Christians, it means that all of us had a past. We've all had struggles. We've all had trials. We've all had temptations. And unfortunately, and I've shared this before, I've seen people sit in church and I've been the only person that has known their past. I've had couples come in and say, "This is my past, but we overcame it through the strength of God." I've had another couple at the same time, these come and say, "This is what we're going through." It was the exact same thing that the other couple had struggled with, and through the power of Christ have overcome. But because they were unwilling to be transparent, the other couple suffered. But when we're transparent, when we can look at someone and say, "Hey, I know what you're going through, and it's hard, but this is how we overcame, this is how we're victorious," God is glorified. God is glorified. We have to be transparent with one another. Why is this so important? Well, the answer is found in the last phrase of verse 5, that the Word of God may not be blasphemed. That the Word of God may not be blasphemed. The Word of God is blasphemed when our life in character does not align itself with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Older lady teaching a younger lady, older man teaching a younger man, older person having the character of God, younger person being admonished to keep the character of God. Our life becomes a reflection of the power of God. Why do people not come to church anymore? A lot of people say, "Well, I don't see the purpose in it." They don't see the purpose in it because they don't see enough examples of people living a victorious life in Christ. See, we can talk about it all day long, but when people look at us, if we are obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they look at us and they say, "You know what? Your life's different. You look like you got it together. Why do you have it together, Lord Jesus Christ?" When we do that, when we're obedient and we can do that and we can be effective, then people say, "You know what? There's something going on over there at that church. I think I want to attend. Those people seem to be happy. They seem to be content. Their life doesn't seem to have the same turmoil going on as my life." That's our testimony. Matthew 5 says we are the salt in the light. Ladies, your job's not done. You have a purpose, and it is a godly calling. And we need you now more than ever. There was an article that came out a couple of years ago referring to the Church of England. And it said the Church of England will be dead in 20 years. It says the average age of its members is now 61. And by 2020, a crisis of natural wastage will leave their numbers falling through the floor, the Church's National Assembly was told. In the past 40 years, the number of adult churchgoers in the Church of England has halved, while the number of children, this is important, the number of children in the Church of England, their attendance has declined by 4/5. And as we get older and as we start thinking about our children's generation and our grandchildren's generation, we could choose to relax. We could choose to say, you know what, I've done my service. I'm getting older. I'm tired. Let somebody else handle it. It's not the church model. That's not the model God called you to. But as we think about our children's generation and our grandchildren's generation, the only answer, the only hope is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our calling. It's what God's called us to, both pastoral and lay people alike. And we should pick that up and run with it and be obedient with it. Would you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, in Titus, both for men and women, it mentions qualifications. Qualifications are leading a godly life. And if you're here today and you are a professor of Christ, if you have professed belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to ask yourself one question. Does your life reflect it? Are you qualified? Now, the qualifications listed aren't given as a choice. They're a command. Are you living a holy life? If you're not living a holy life this morning, which is your first step in serving God in His kingdom, right now, right where you're at, commit your life to holiness. Commit your life to obedience. Commit your life to being a faithful follower of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. He's not in control. You're living your life your own way. You're sinning at will. And you're suffering through it. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, right now, right where you're at, ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Ask Him into your life. Ask Him to be your Savior and Lord. Repent. You have to repent from your sins. You have to quit doing what you're doing. Jesus Christ will forgive you. If you become a Christian, we need to know about it so you can be faithful to the Lord and follow Him in believer's baptism. And we can help you as you begin your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a decision to make today, don't delay. Our Father, we thank You today. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your examples that You've given us in Scripture. And I pray that we might be godly families. And I pray that we might have a purpose in serving You in Your kingdom. And I know that starts with obedience and holiness. I pray that we might trust in You and live for You. I pray if there's someone here who needs to make a decision today, that now would be the time. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning? Is He speaking to you?